Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast for Round 0 2024. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain. Joining me is a man who is sick of the naysayers who are having a crack at Mason Cox. It is Adam Rosenbach.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Timers. We are back for our 10th year. It's 2024. Round 0 is done and dusted. And don't we all love... you know what I love? I love that Carlton have won a game and the season hasn't even kicked off properly. This is just, it's unprecedented in my lifetime, Michael. And I am cock-a-hoop.
I mean, we've been doing it for 10 years now, Adam. And I can tell you, I never get sick of round zero at the start of the year.
It's what we all look forward to. We all look forward to it. The 10 teams, 10 people, supporters just sit there and go, well, this is a bit fucking shit. But anyway... We'll get to that very shortly. Everyone has had a crack at poor Mason Cox for his antics over the last probably 6 months. Now, last year, Mason Cox said that the GWS Giants, he rubbished the beanstalk, the stadium out in the outer western suburbs of Sydney, and people got into him. He said it was just, you know, it was where they it was like farmland.
It was where you had the cattle. It was off the back. It was off the back of the Royal Show.
Yeah, the Easter Show.
So they actually did have farm animals on that field.
And people ripped into him for that. And then what happens? It's a fucking sellout. And I want to say that Mason Cox deserves a bit of a cut of every bit of every ticket that was sold for last night's game. It was all because of Mason. And then just to get everything happening again, I told him to do this, right, because I'm really good mates with Mason. I said, what you do before the game is when GWS are doing their training drills for their centre square setup, get in there, bump Mummy in the back, sausages, get him in the back, tap the ball away, and then walk away with a footy. Now, he knows that the AFL paid for that footy. He knows that the GWS can afford that footy, but he didn't give a fuck, Mace. He just grabbed it, he walked away with it, and I loved it.
What a very fucking brave man to go anywhere near Shane Mumford while wearing a white line.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a brave man. And you know what I said to Mason after that? I said, you know what will really rile the fans up more, mate? And you should do this. And he listens to me. Uh-huh. I said, do not go anywhere near the fucking ball.
Don't go anywhere near the
first
pill.
Half.
Because I think
and like if you almost take a mark, drop it. I said drop it because it'll just make people more agitated and it's more fun for round zero. That's what will get people talking.
Because I think people were very keen to boo him, but he just didn't touch it, so they didn't get a chance. They had to boo at the guy selling the pies just to get it out of their system.
That is how you get in someone's kitchen. You go, you want to hate me? I'm not going to give you any opportunities to hate me, mate.
That's how you take the crowd out of a game, don't you? You don't touch the ball.
Yeah, you go nowhere fucking near it. And he just did his job. He sucked the life out of it. Sure, they got beaten by 5 goals, but that's not the point. He got in the GWS supporters' heads, and when they come back down for the rematch at the MCG later in the year, they are just going to be so focused on Mason that they're going to forget about the rest of the team.
I think it got mentioned on the banner, I believe, or had a reference to it. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, GWS, can I just say that their social media team is so incredibly, unbelievably good that every other team is playing catch-up and they just do everything they do really well.
They had a thing the other day and it was with the Collingwood players about how to go on a trip interstate, like how to board on a plane and, you know, how you have to carry your own bags onto the plane and all that kind of. I found it very funny. I wonder. I know there's one guy who's behind it probably mainly, but I wonder how big the team is.
It sounds like they've farmed it out. Like it's just incredible. They must have a team of at least 300 or 400. I mean, if you've got the AFL pumping the money in behind you, why wouldn't you have the world's greatest social media team at your disposal?
Well, I actually think from what I've been hearing is that the social media budget's actually bigger than the salary cap.
Oh,
and they've even got a hard cap on the... the tax for the social media. So if you kind of employ some whiz guy from TikTok comes in on 1.5, you know, you got to pay that back to the AFL in tax.
Yeah, they're unbelievable. But as we said, Michael, 10 years of junk time. Can you believe that we made it this far? People said that we wouldn't get this far. They said that no one would listen to us, and they were partially right. But we've made it. We've created, you know, people never talked about the Gatorade Bukkake now, and that is in the zeitgeist for our listeners.
We actually, the first episode that we talked about, it was actually the first time the Giants beat the Swans. It was round one of 2014, and that was the game where they went off the Lightning.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I actually don't even know if it was played at the Beanstalk. I think it might have actually been played at another ground. But they went off for the Lightning probably in the first or second quarter. But that was the first time that the Giants actually broke their cherry and actually beat the Swans.
Well, there you go. And haven't we seen some great times? So since we started, you have won three flags.
Two flags,
and
yeah.
Carlton won about four wooden spoons, I reckon, in that time.
Beautiful. So last year was the first time you made finals for the whole time we've been doing this.
That is correct, yes.
Those glorious 9 years. Oh, they were beautiful. They were beautiful until it all got ruined. Yeah, I like the pattern. If we won flag in the first 2 years, and so I was like going, okay, this starting a podcast thing's working out pretty well.
Yeah. But it has turned on it, and which I really enjoy that you guys are starting, you know, you went down the bottom of the ladder and then Carlton have come up. So I'm enjoying the time that, you know, over these 10 years that we have finally switched positions, and it is a slightly nicer feeling for me.
Now, tell me about the Carlton game the other day. Where did you watch it? I wanted the details. I couldn't follow it entirely during the night. So when I found out you guys had come back from about 48 points, I was like, holy shit, that's a great win. And then I realised it was like, you were like just before half time. So I was like, well, it's not that good a win.
All right, well, how's go fuck yourselves then, for starters? No, so mates of mine that I used to work with had organised a dinner. And I assumed that, firstly, I didn't really know what rounds I was. So this is like, you know, 6 weeks ago that we're like, yeah, we'll catch up. I'm like, oh, yeah, I think it's that round zero or round one or whatever. I thought the Carlton, as they do against Richmond, were going to kick off on the Thursday night. So I was like, yeah, I'll come to dinner. I can go and watch whatever game it is that's playing after that. So I'm at dinner and I'm like, oh, fucking hell. And I said to the boys that I was with, I'm like, just so you know, Carlton's playing tonight. I'm going to be distracted. And then, you know, when you kind of check your phone, you subtly check your phone and you have a look.
Yeah.
And we'd kicked one goal to, I think, about 7 or 8.
Okay.
And then I was probably the most engaged person at that dinner party because I did not want to leave. Let's get another round.
Sure. Tell me more about your children.
Yeah.
How gifted are they?
And so after that, I kind of made my way home during the third quarter. So I was on the tram home back to North Fitzroy. And I just saw slowly Carlton were kicking a few goals. And so what I did was I stopped looking at my phone, went radio silent on the tram, got back in, went to halftime on the recording and just started watching it live from then and then sped it up until I caught up. And it was incredible. And, mate, when Harry Mackay took the mark to put us in front, so we're 5 points down, he takes the mark and you go, is this – it was either going to make our season or it was going to ruin his fucking life.
Going to be a giant metaphor just hanging over the entire year.
Well, it was. Like, if he misses that, right, if that sprays out on the full, that is all anyone is talking about until he runs out against Richmond next Thursday night. And I didn't think he was going to kick it, you know, because I've just so ingrained that he's going to, you know, hit some poor kid who's, you know, drifted off on his parents' lap in the forward pocket and they think they're safe.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much noise did you make to annoy the neighbours?
It was pretty loud.
Yeah.
It was pretty loud, yeah. I will admit that. So I apologise to all my neighbours, but they're aware. Like, they've been around the last few years and they've heard just occasionally me going, fucking hell, Teague, time to sack Bolton, get rid of Malthouse. What the fuck is that cunt doing?
Do you reckon they can hear you through the walls?
I reckon, yes.
Yeah, sure.
But only in bursts. Like, I'm not, it's not like sentences of yelling. It's just like, you know, they probably just think I'm slightly insane and they don't know what I'm doing. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That is shit. You suck.
I remember
maybe they think I'm married or something and I'm really talking down to other members of my family. I don't know.
I always find if my neighbours could hear me yelling, it'd be me yelling at myself. So there's no one in danger. Yeah. I had a friend years ago and he said he was living in a place that had kind of thin walls and he could hear a bloke next door going, "Bash her! Bash her! Get her! Get her!" And he's like, "Holy fuck, what's this?" And he then kind of was flicking around on TV and he realised he was watching the wrestling. And so he was cheering. He was cheering a wrestler going, "Get her! Get her! Get her!" For a second, he was going to call the cops. He was like, "What the fuck is this?" But then he was watching the Sweet Science of the WWE.
I thought he was watching Basher Hooley. I thought where that story was going.
Hey, got a lot of stories to tell, Adam, in the next few weeks. My comedy festival show.
So when does that all kick off, the comedy festival? I'm not doing a show this year, so I have no idea about what's happening.
It kicks off for me on the 30th of March, I believe, 31st. It's the Easter weekend.
Okay. So the Saturday and the Sunday. Not I believe, mate. This is your fucking show.
Well, actually, no, I've got a flyer actually right in front of me. Here we go. So it's 30th
hang
of March.
Hang on. Just before you get to the flyer, you shouldn't have to know. You shouldn't have to look at a flyer to know what date your show is on.
It's three Sundays from now. I know that much. Three Saturdays from now. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So now your story's changed from three Sundays to three Saturdays.
It's Saturday, Sunday for the four weekends of the Comedy Festival. Kicks off on the 30th. Saturday, 3:20 p.m. and Sunday, 4:30 p.m. And so that's a twilight game.
Absolutely.
Cooper's Inn. Tickets can be found at Tribook. And just type in Michael Chamberlain's Completely Incomplete History of Australian Rules. And I find I've done publicity for this for like the last 2 years. People find it very difficult to say the full title of the show. You get everything.
So this is the show that you performed last year. Are there any additions to it?
There are. I've taken out about 10, 15 minutes and I put in another 10, 15 minutes, I reckon. Right. Probably more 10 minutes, yeah.
Fantastic. And I saw the show last year and it was really fun. If you like your footy and you want to know everything that has ever happened on the great grounds that we play on, then check it out. I really enjoyed it. It was a fun show.
There is a lot to talk about. I think I actually did the maths the other day, and I think it's about 185 years in about an hour. A lot to talk about. I'll talk very quickly. Nicely. But yeah, check it out. Tickets to Tribook.com.
Will you be celebrating the potential of the grand final between the Gold Coast Suns and the GWS Giants?
It'd be pretty cool, actually, I must say. Oh, the AFL must be salivating.
Would it be? Okay, I put it to you. Would that grand final be overkill and overcorrecting of what the AFL wants? Like, they want either of those teams in the grand final, I'll give you that, but both on the same day.
They want a marquee. Yeah, they want a marquee team, don't they? So you want one of the big four against them, you know. Because, I mean, even if you looked at it when the Giants played in that grand final, wasn't only like 1,000 people like access to member ticket or something like that? Like, it was quite a very small number.
So
you got to be a little bit concerned if it's a Giants and Suns. You need a lot of neutrals to show up to that one.
You know what's gonna happen? This is exactly what's going to happen because this is the way our podcast is run. Carlton will lose the grand final. To GWS
or
the Gold Coast Suns.
Beautiful. Mark it down. You heard it first. And I am already salivating at the idea of our post-grand final show on the Sunday with Will Anderson and Charlie Clausen and our live show tradition, grand final tradition. I'm salivating at what we can do. Just how much... You're going to throw yourself downstairs just to get out of it.
I reckon there'd be someone else to be thrown downstairs before I go down there, mate.
You would fake your own death to get out of it.
Yeah. So the Suns opened up with an unbelievable win over Richmond. The Richmond that Damien Hardwick set about for 2 years, absolutely fucking destroying from within.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and coaches against them. And you can see the damage that Hardwick had caused from both teams.
You're right. He was very, very tired and burnt out. And then about 2 weeks later, they handed over a six-year deal at $7 million. Yep. And all of a sudden, he just found a little bit of a spring in his step.
It was like a Barocca.
I saw a bit of footage, actually, the other day. So there was a little kid in a Richmond top. And I think their parent was there, I think, as well.
Turncoat.
Yeah, and so Dimmer's walked up and given him a Suns jumper, and he fucking ripped the Richmond top off very quickly, the young lad.
So I just think, you know, fans like that, You don't want him around. Like, no. You know, he was standing there at the Gold Coast Stadium and Dimmer comes over and he goes, oh, buddy, you've got... And it just seemed too set up for me, Michael.
Yeah,
why
sure.
Why is Dimmer walking around? Is he just walking the streets with junior Gold Coast jumpers? Because that's fucking sus.
I do wonder, though, actually. I wonder if it goes full Hulk. Like, is that kid going to go, I got a jumper from Dimmer, therefore I am now a Gold Coast Suns fan? Like, I wonder what that kid's, you know, story is when he comes back to Melbourne. Presumably he's from Melbourne.
Well, I think, I mean, you know, judging from him and he was such a little turncoat, I reckon he's probably been handed a fucking Collingwood jumper on the flight home and he's wearing that tonight.
What would it take to get you to switch teams? I'm trying to think what it would take for me to switch teams. I think there would be a number. Yeah, I think there'd be a number.
As in you could be paid to switch teams?
Yeah, if someone came up to me and offered me an amount, I reckon... Mm-hmm. And if all it meant was that I went to games, and I can only get to about 7-8 games tops anyway each year, for a figure, I reckon.
No, but if they gave you $5 million...
I don't think that'd
sudden,
be enough,
You don't have to... Okay, so say it's $10 million.
Yeah, I mean, actually, now I've talked myself in the corner by the fact that if they go $1 billion... Well, you go, yeah.
All right, fuck it. Everyone's changing teams for $1 billion.
Yeah, but that's at the same time, though, like, but you're not going to, you don't need $1 billion. So then why isn't it just $50 million? You know, that'll last me for the rest of my life. I don't need
anything
too fancy.
Yeah, okay, but you say you can only get to 7 or 8 games. If you've got $50 million, mate,
yeah.
I reckon you can get to all 22 games.
That's actually true. I'm not exactly fucking slogging away at the fucking ABC.
Yeah. I just love my job so much. I'm just letting it gain interest.
I know, if I can keep the job. Just for the protesters who come out the front every now and then.
Yeah, what would it take? Like, say, for example, if say, Carlton said, hey, we've had a bit of a rethink. We're going to get Mick Malthouse and Dennis Pagan back to coach.
Oh, yep. Yep.
A dual coaching thing. That would be very tempting for me to go, you know what? I think I'm a Giants fan.
Have you ever had a second team? Like, have you got a team that you have an affinity for? I've never had a second team.
Yeah, you've always said that. I reckon I've always had, like, kind of soft spots for teams, and I think it was probably in the 80s, it was probably St Kilda, because they were no threat, right?
Yeah,
and also,
yeah.
Carlton and St Kilda kind of swapped a lot of players, so you saw some of your players running around and you got some of theirs. And I think, like, you know when... Say Collingwood are playing in a grand final, then you instantly have an affinity for the team that they're playing against.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Now I would never not normally barrack for the West Coast Eagles, but in 2018, I was happy to pretend that I would pay $9 for a shit coffee. You know, I would pretend that I was doing meth just so I could get my head around being from Perth.
For sure, you were going down to Fremantle, and you were getting on yachts and stuff like that.
Absolutely, I was doing Dexys for no reason.
My dad had an acquaintance a long time ago, and he didn't particularly care for this gentleman. And one of the reasons why he didn't particularly care for this gentleman is that he said not only did he have a second team, he had a third team. And for my dad, that was like, You're
fucking dead to me.
You're a literal scum of the earth. he could almost tolerate a second team. He doesn't particularly like it.
Yeah.
I think these people are kidding themselves. But to have a third team was just like beyond redemption for him.
I think, okay, obviously, I don't have that. I'm not as rigid on that as your dad. But I think if you've ever changed a team.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And you were... say older than 6, then you should have to declare that at every game that you go to. Say you're wearing, say it's a Carlton jumper, on the back it needs to say, I used to barrack for whoever it was. You need to make that declaration so the people around you know what a weak-willed motherfucker you are.
Yeah, sure. Or is there some kind of process? Like, you know, have you changed your name? You know,
Deepole.
Yeah, if you get married, change your name, or if you got to change your name because you know you someone of similar name committed a massive crime, you go, I don't want to be with that person.
I don't agree. I think even if you're in the witness protection scheme and you're like, say it's you, right? You're a massive Hawthorn supporter. You're in witness protection. The mafia should know that they will be able to whack you on grand final day because they will just hang out to the MCC and just go, there he is. That's the fuckwit who couldn't stay away. And boom, out come your brains all over your Ralph Lauren polo.
You know what would have actually happened? There would be someone out there who changed teams and then just by the logic of numbers, changed teams and then changed teams again. Like, and I'm not even saying change back, change to a third team. That would have had to have happened.
That's disgusting.
It is. I mean, I don't know what the policies of the Labor government and the Mirror are about deporting people, but if there's any...
But you know what? There must have been people say who barracked for the doggy. I reckon, no, actually... I was going to say break for the doggies for 60 years and then in 2008 when they lost or 2009 when they lost to St Kilda in the prelim just went, you know what, I've had a fuck enough. That is it.
Yep.
If there's ever a new team, I'm going to break for them and then the doggies go on to win. But I would imagine by the time you're that age, you're not changing. Like I'd imagine an old person is changing because you go, what's the point? I've already got my lot in life. My kids hate me. My team's shit. I'll just fucking stick with it.
Or you may not change, but you may change your habits. So maybe you don't watch as much or you don't go as much. So you may be not, spending money on the club like you would have in the past.
Yeah, see, I can't even imagine that. Like, I've been through some seasons where by round three it's over. Yeah. And even still, I'm still going to games. And at halftime when we haven't kicked a goal against Fremantle at Marvel Stadium and they're still doing an activation saying, come and... go outside and you can sign up to be a member. And you go, no one's signing up. That, they're just not doing it. Like, what do you... And I'm sitting there like a fucking idiot going, why am I there?
So, massive game next week then for the Blues and for the Tigers as well. I mean, there's obviously an enormous crowd.
You know what is really ridiculous out of the back of round zero is the fact that Richmond have a five-day break.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, so they played on Saturday up at the Gold Coast, so they're going to travel back home, and then they get Carlton off a five-day break. You go, that's not exactly fair, I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, I know, but having said that, you couldn't have had Gold Coast kicking off the whole year on the Thursday night either.
No, completely agree, but you would have just had to go, well, maybe Carlton, because Carlton are coming off a six-day break.
Yep.
You just go, maybe we just have to say to Carlton and Richmond, and maybe they just wanted the game so badly, that you go, hey, it's probably better for both of you if you play on maybe the Friday night, flip whatever the Friday night game is.
Yep. Hey, so we were talking about the Suns, and we can see the change that Dimon's already made, and he's made huge changes. For example, he's done a bit of renovating.
Oh yeah,
he's made a more open. He's made a more open plan, so therefore they can all mingle and I'm sure if he's brought in hot desking, I'm sure everyone fucking I'm sure they love that. Get a locker. You get a locker, guys. You get a locker, and you just lock your stuff up, and then you go and sit on a desk, and then the person who comes in who's sat there for the last 3 days, now you're sitting there, and they're happy about it. Yeah. And then he's brought in some more desks, so the players aren't in team meetings just writing in notepads on their knees.
That is unbelievable that existed in a... Because you would have thought that the AFL and the Gold Coast and GWS coming in, that the AFL would have given them the fucking top-of-the-range facilities.
Yeah. But they were doing... They were in portables and shit like that.
Yeah,
like they were doing, They were doing weights in like rooms that were like 50 degrees, had no air conditioning.
Yeah, and you just go, how did that happen and where is all that money going?
I know.
Apparently it's been pumped into GWS and Gold Coast every year.
Well, how did it happen again? By the fact that, they're back at Carrara and that was the exact same thing that was happening at Carrara.
Yeah.
I mean, North had that kind of shit, but North had it for a reason. They had no money. These guys had all the money in the world.
Yeah, so basically Dim has gone, you know what, I'm fucking going down to Officeworks.
Yeah. I also love this one. They have meat tray races. So if someone makes an error, like say property steward comes along and to have 10 balls only has 5, they go meat tray, and then you go and buy a meat tray. And now where do you get a meat tray? Like they're not a very common thing. Like a classy butcher wouldn't do a meat tray.
Oh, I reckon you could get them to put one together.
Put one together,
And also too, and the current cost of living. crisis. If you're getting a meat tray, you're getting a you get a couple of steaks in there. You're a couple hundred bucks deep, and that's just one corner of the tray.
You
can't just load it up on the fucking nasty sausages.
Can I tell you this one? Cost of living. I got a message last week from real estate that they're selling Rod Carter Studios, and so old Chambo's got to hit the streets.
Is that right?
I'm about to fucking walk into the fucking Hunger Games fucking real estate market. I'm going to cry about it. Every article.
You know what the
I
good
see.
Thing is, though? From what I've been reading is that rentals are very easy to come across in Sydney.
Dude, seriously. So if you see me in the tunnel at Central Station with a hat there playing the clarinet, please give kindly. But meat tray racer, so you got to come in. You make an error. You come in. I don't know what the standards of errors are. Like, is it, you know, you kick 5 points instead of, you know, a shot to goal? Or is it like, you know, you blew 0.09 going down Capitol Avenue?
Yeah.
Meat tray. You bring the meat tray and then it's going to be worth more than $100. So that's, you right. know, snake okay. and a steak and a chop. You got to prove it. You got to have the receipt. And then,
Jesus.
And then they get on some kind of computerized racing game, like almost like the animated Greyhounds.
And oh yeah, I read that. So he's basically going down to the local TAB.
Essentially, yeah. So you pick number three, and then if number three gets up, you get the meat tray. So he's just bringing in fun little things like that, mate. Just getting the players hooked on a little bit of gambling early in the day.
I like it. I like it. That's what you want, 18-year-old boys with lots of time away from their parents in Queensland to get on board.
Yeah, getting a dopamine hit from winning an animated greyhound race.
So I'm hoping that there's some decent fridges and ice bars up at the Gold Coast, because I don't want my meat tray having sat out at training the whole time. This is the meat tray you're getting. You go the one that's steaming at the moment, Dimmer.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you got to keep that stuff... And if we know anything about the conditions up there at the Gold Coast, like, I don't think they do have a fridge.
You know who would love a meat tray would be the AFL Kitchen and Bar, Michael, but I think it's beyond redemption now.
You know what I'm actually... Now, I mean, they've made some changes and this is, junk times. This is actually going to hurt. We don't like to bring this kind of bad news to you guys, but... Actually, one thing they could add to the menu is a meat tray. I mean, it does fit the Dimmer meat tray.
Well, could you imagine, right, you're going to fly up to Sydney to go watch, say, Carlton play the Swans.
Yep.
And you pop into the AFL Kitchen and Bar and you're just sitting there and you go, should I get the midfielder's margarita? Should I get the premiership pepperoni?
Yeah.
And then you go, you know what? Fuck that. I'm going to fuck a meat tray.
I'm getting the fuck
And so you've already gone through security, so you don't have to worry about... you haven't gone through security. Can you get a meat tray through security, Michael? Sorry, meat-based question without notice.
I mean, I've seen a few meat trays coming out on border security on TV.
Yeah, okay.
They say, here's Jono. He's back from the Blues and the Swans in Sydney. He's trying to get the meat tray through. I reckon they could do an AFL Kitchen and Bar. So say there are like 30 people in there. Someone fucks up, like the chef, you know, cooks the steak, you know, medium. It should be medium rare.
Yep.
Everyone goes, meat tray. Person goes, buys a meat tray. And then instead of the greyhound racing, they put the board. They go watch the departures board. And the first first Qantas plane cancelled, that person gets the meat tray. So there are some dark days. I think it was Damien who sent these in. I haven't been to the airport for a while since about around about Australia Day, I think. And didn't go there for Kitchen and Bar, but the pictures were sent in and they've changed the menu, Adam.
I mean, this is clearly Andrew Dillon wielding his power. Gil would never have allowed this kind of... you want things to be normal, don't you, Michael?
You want routine.
Routine, yes. When I go to the airport, that I know that if I want a premiership pepperoni, it's going to be there.
Yep.
If I want a midfielder's margarita, I know I can get that. No matter what time of year, what time of day, what time of... It just didn't matter. I could go out there, even if I wasn't flying, I'd take the family out there, $1,000 deep, we'd get ourselves some fucking lovely food.
You know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
So they've rebranded... So they're still an AFL Kitchen and Bar, but they're a little less AFL, I believe. By the fact
What's the point?
they've
What's
now.
What's the point? You're just a kitchen and bar, mate.
Essentially, yeah. They might as well tear down the logo.
Yeah.
A, they've removed the big screen from out the front, which is where I would actually go to watch the games when Hawthorn was playing.
Yeah.
I'd get a chair, just watch that big screen out, because there's nothing like that environment of, you know, crying kids walking past you, people carrying Maccas, you know.
Yeah.
They've changed the pepperoni, the premiership pepperoni. Yeah, it's now just called pepperoni. They're taking the premiership
what?
Away.
I don't know what that is.
I don't recognise it anymore. I don't know.
I don't understand what that is.
Pepperoni, like, am I meant to eat that? I don't quite know. Yeah.
How do I feel after I've eaten it? Do I feel like I've won a premiership? I don't believe I do. Like, I feel greasy and like I'm going to shit my pants, but I don't feel like I've won a flag.
No. I'm not wearing a cup on my head, am I?
No, fucking hell.
This one probably hurts the most is that they changed the midfielder's margarita to just margarita.
Again?
I mean the fish rots at the head, doesn't it? You know,
Dylan's it does. Got, it does. Like you and I never made it at the top echelon of the AFL, right? We didn't make the cut. But whenever we went to the AFL kitchen and bar and we had a midfielder's margarita, we felt like we were AFL players.
You felt a part of it, didn't you? Yeah.
Well, yeah, because otherwise they wouldn't let you have it.
Yeah, I felt much like an AFL player. I often would eat the midfielder margarita, the premiership pepperoni, and flying to Sydney, I would immediately change my flight to Bali because I felt like a premiership player. Football is in real life, Adam?
I think you and I have spotted quite a few of late. Now, I remember last time I mentioned that I saw Charlie Curnow.
Oh, yep.
At a cafe in North Fitzroy, and he's obviously a regular. He was reading a book there last time I saw him, but this time I saw him as I was walking in and he was walking out. I believe he may have been with Paddy Dow, who's gone to St Kilda, was formerly on the Carlton list. And as I walked in, I said, "How's it going, Charlie?"
Oh, yeah. Now,
so we're getting closer. Last time I didn't speak to him, this time, how's it going, Charlie? Like I knew him and he just kind of nodded. So he didn't want a bar of me and I completely understood it. And I think I just got overwhelmed in like, oh, I know this bloke. And then I'm like, he doesn't know me.
Yeah, sure. You do feel like that sometimes when you spot a celebrity and you kind of go, oh, like I feel like I know them. But then you go, oh, no, you don't.
Yes.
But I was always going to clarify if you did talk to him last time because I couldn't remember. But you do realize now that you have talked to him, he's never going back to that cafe ever again. He's going to a different cafe now. So you've just ruined a dining eatery for him.
Well, the good thing is there aren't a lot in that North Fitzroy area, so I can change just as quickly as he can.
Okay, yeah, you good on your left, good on your right. Change
mate, I'll chase him down. I'll chase him down.
Hey, don't forget my comedy festival show coming up. Tickets can be found at trybooking.com. Michael Chamberlain's Completely Incomplete History of Australian Rules. I have one. I don't think I've told this one in the last podcast, but Max Gorn.
Oh, yeah. Where'd you see Maxie?
Big Maxie down near the art gallery. He was with his wife and they each were pushing a pram.
Look at that.
It was relatively
not
early.
Not a big double pram. They just went a pram each.
It was probably about 7 in the morning, I reckon. Okay. He was just kind of wearing casual attire. Don't think there was any Melbourne gear as such, but kind of sporting gear. It looked like he could probably, you know, the kind of gear you could go for a run in.
Yep.
He looked very happy and loving dad life.
Yeah, nice. Now, I did a sportsman's night recently, and I did it with two of the most famous number 29s from the North Melbourne Football Club. Current player Will Phillips was down there to support his old club. It was the East Doncaster Footy Club. And I also chatted with Boomer Harvey.
Oh, great.
He was on as a part of the night. And he's lovely. Lovely man, Boomer.
He is a cool guy.
He kicked
like 24 goals in one game or something when he was a junior.
Really?
Yeah, it was something remarkable. And you know, think about him as a junior. Like he's junior.
He's proper junior. You always look at that though, you know, and because that happened a little bit like in, you know, schoolboy footy. There's always talk about someone kicked, you know, 20 goals or something like that.
And they get in the local paper with a picture of them in front of the scoreboard.
How greedy were those kids to just go, you know what? I am not going to pass to any of my mates. I know I'm so much better. I'm a cut above.
Yeah.
Fuck everyone.
Yeah, sure thing. And I imagine Boomer, I'm going to put forward that he didn't play forward that day.
Yeah, he's probably just grabbing it out of the midfield and just running through.
Unless he kind of would rest forward. But yeah, I can't imagine that he played the whole day in the forward pocket.
Yeah, I don't imagine to kick 24 that you are playing up forward because I don't think the delivery would be, the supply wouldn't be there. So you've got to create your own supply.
That's a good point. From Tommy, once again, your other outside Claston eye on the Northern Rivers. Ah, Tommy's written in before. Another sighting of Tom McCartan, who shares a naturopath with yours truly. I believe post-footy he's living in Byron.
Well, there you go.
Constant Danaher sightings. The Young Saints core group go Michito Evans.
Owens.
Owens? Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Oh, Wanganeen. Yeah, sick. Isaac Keeler and Max Heath running the iconic Lighthouse run. Running the terrible job. Running the iconic Lighthouse run at Sunrise.
The Young Saints core group go Michito Owens, Naziah Wanganeen Miller, Isaac Keeler and Max Heath running and the iconic finally, Lighthouse run at Sunrise.
And finally, out for a Sunday drink and dinner at the local Bangalow restaurant was future Brownlow medalist Marcus the Bontempelli. This all took place between Wednesday and Sunday. So Byron-y area is like the getaway, I suppose, during the off-season. Fair enough. Lovely.
Yeah, I suppose it is. Once you're back from overseas, you got to just you go where all the famous people are. And you know what? I reckon all these people are childless because otherwise they'd be in Noosa.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Mm. From Henry. Just a recent one, the Demons spotted out and about in Sydney after last night's four-quarter performance. So that was just over the weekend, would have been probably Thursday night, Friday night. From Tom, in October last year, I took a city trip weekend away from London to lovely San Sebastian in Spain with my folks who were visiting from overseas. They're doing very well for themselves. San Sebastian.
Visiting from Oz, mate. That's what OZ means.
Yeah, what did I say?
Overseas.
Oh, sorry. I looked up San Sebastian. It looks fucking amazing.
I've been there. It's fucking wonderful.
Yeah. No, it looked incredible.
The food is one of the best foodie places you could ever go to.
While Pink Sauce Bar hopping in the old town, which was fairly busy, I was rudely snaked at the bar by a tall man with a brace on his right hand. I was pissed off because we were pretty hungry. And the style there is to grab your food from the bar. This fella stood out because he was A, tall, B, visibly injured, and C, not English-speaking. Most patrons were Spanish. And he was easily upsold by the barman to order the larger size beer when everyone was drinking the smaller size canner glasses. I had a hunch this may be an off-season travelling AFL footballer, and on returning to join my folks after I was finally served, a quick Google revealed this was in fact Port Adelaide reject and perhaps soon to be Rossline reject AFL key defender Dougal Howard. A recent AFL.com article about Saints players' off-season surgeries confirmed that Howard had to go under the knife for a hand injury that confirmed it for me, and there's a picture, and he is a big, big boy.
Yeah, he is. Well, standing out comparatively there in a bar in San Sebastian, he is quite enormous, isn't he?
Yeah, wow. Huh, dude. It is funny, that kind of stuff. I haven't told this one either. Phil Davis. Football in real life.
Oh, yeah, where'd you see him?
Malvern Central. And actually, this actually fits in with the story from Tom there about Dougal. He was in Adairs, I believe it's pronounced, which is a betting shop.
Yep. Sure is.
And I walked past him, big unit, and I was like, that looks like Phil Davis. But then I kind of started going through my head, I don't know, does he live in Melbourne? Does he live in Sydney? Like, what's he go? Looked up, he was with a blonde lady. So I looked up his Instagram and then saw that they had pictures of them getting married. And so I was like, oh, yep, that's them. And so
how lovely.
And then I went to confirm and I went into the shop and I went by the pillows that he was looking at.
Excellent.
And I got a vocal recognition. So.
Because you will need those pillows for when you're sleeping on the street.
Yeah, I know, dude. Okay. I happily accept donations of, it's really only.
Accommodation.
I mean, it's for the pod, Adam. You know, we can't lose Rod Carter Studios. I mean,
absolutely not.
You know, yeah. Hey, we're going to hit the road. We are JunkTimeAFLPod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram. Go Hawks.
Go Blues.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.